I want to parent in a way that leads my children to recognize and trust the Lord. I have no idea how to do that except to take what the Lord has planted in me and give the fruit of it to my children. After all, tiny seeds grow mighty trees. Welcome to the Seeds and Trees Podcast. All right, let's delve in on thinking through and reading through the stories of the resurrection. I'm so pleased that we are starting the first of our episodes at Seeds and Trees with this very subject. I mean, what could be more meaningful? What could be more rich? What could mean the most to us? But the fact that our Jesus is really alive, that he does not still hang at a cross, that we don't still picture him that way, but that instead we picture him at the right hand of God the Father. So I'm so pleased just to talk about Jesus with y'all today. It's going to be good. The thing that really popped into my mind about all of this was 2 Peter 1. I think it's the second verse, but he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And that really is such a thing, isn't it? That there's multiplication in knowledge. That grace and peace is multiplied to us the deeper that we know God and the deeper that we know Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in church. I had wonderful parents. They were saved later in their life, but at least before I came along. And so I grew up in church and did all the things and fell in love with Jesus early. I mean, I was saved when I was real little, about 5 years old, because I was just straight up scared of not going to heaven and really scared of being alone. I really felt like God was my heavenly Father, and that if you know, everything passed away around me, everything got ruined around me, so to speak, that at least I would have him. So that was really what saved me at a young age, was the fact of like, I've got to have him. Then when I was about 13, I went through sort of a new space where I thought, all right, this life on my own is just not working out. And of course, I thought that very much as a 13-year-old and what it was like to be in, I guess I was in seventh grade, and you know, things weren't so as smooth as I thought that they should be, which just means school and sports and homework when you're in the seventh grade. But I really surrendered my life to Christ. And I remember standing in the door jamb of my bedroom and sort of dropping my backpack to my side and just being like, okay, if you want it all, God, you can have it. And I'll just try to figure out who you are from here on out. It didn't quite go to that, because it really is the thing with him that we feel like in the beginning sometimes when we're first saved that we're searching for God. Like, well, what exactly is it that I believe, and who exactly is he, and how do I get close to him? And, you know, there's a lot of verbiage even within the Christian church, of which I'm very fond of. You'll not find me too harsh of a critic of what I grew up with at all, but you will find me a realist of it, and a realist of what kind of church situations we're in America right now. And I won't be shy by any means about sharing my viewpoints, the lackluster about it, but I also will not be shy to very much separate the church from God himself. They're two very separate things. And we can't mix up the identity of like who God is with the way that the people represent him on earth. It is very different. We have to give grace and peace to those that are still very much growing in any sense of who God is, and people that are still trying to pull their identity, pull their meaning, pull their ego out of, you know, the business of the church or the work of the church or just even of their own giftings. There's grace for that for people. There's always a chance to mature, just like there has been a chance for me to continue to grow and mature, and hopefully will continue to be as we lean in to what the resurrection is. I just wanted to share my own testimony and share that I really just fell in love with Jesus early, and I felt very loved by God. One of the huge themes of the church is, of course, the cross. I heard on numerous occasions, whether I went to like a Christian concert or a youth group or, you know, summer camp, whatever it was that was the main influencers of my young life, I always heard like, you need to bring your cares to the cross. You need to bring your sins to the cross. Bring whatever it is, you bring it to the cross. And I never got it. It never sunk into me. Like, I was like, why would we do that? Because like, he's not on the cross anymore. And I remember as a child being in somebody's house, just visiting, you know, alongside my parents, but we were in somebody's house that was Catholic. And so they had crucifixes on their walls, and it unnerved me, I guess maybe would be the word. Like, I was like, why would you have this terrible picture of Jesus hanging on the cross? Because as an evangelical, as a Protestant evangelical, and we rarely saw pictures of him as on the cross. It was always, you know, illustrations or paintings of him doing his work on earth or of being glorified in heaven or the ascension or something like that. But not often were we looking at him on the cross, maybe on Easter, right? But besides, you know, Palm Sunday and Easter, that's not a picture that you get in Protestant evangelicalism very often. So as I dug more into the cross, I never seemed to really get a taste for it. And I always had mentors or girls a couple grades older than I was that I was in Bible study with or something like that. And they would just talk in this way where they just loved the cross of Jesus Christ. And it just never sunk into me, and I never knew why, but for whatever reason, just the unction that the Holy Spirit put in me, one thing that I always prayed is that I wanted to know God. Like, I wanted to understand him, and I still want that. I want to know him. I want to see him. I want to know what he's really like. I don't want to be distracted. I want to, you know, I mean, like, even just like the biblical version of like, I want to see you face to face, God. Like, I want to understand you. I want to see your glory. Things that, you know, in times past, we've heard people pray to the Lord. I identified with that so much, but I never really sunk into the cross, and I felt guilty about it, to be honest with you. I remember sitting at like a Rebecca St. James concert. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I mean, this would be back in like the late 90s, and it was her and Jeremy Camp, who I appreciate and love so much. And they were just talking about just the cross and how powerful the cross was. And I was sitting, you know, on my picnic blanket in the grass, as we do at these, you know, Christian like summer concerts, and being like, God, I don't get it. I don't get the cross, and I don't get why everybody loves the cross. Like, can you help me with this? Can you convict me with this? And I was, you know, real famous for praying prayers like, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And, you know, show me things that I need to repent of, and very sin focused, very performance focused. All of those things I thought were very holy and were going to produce a good work in me. And that as I needed as much pain as I could bear up under, and that is where my holiness, you know, would come from. And at that point in my life, I had had maybe some dreams from the Lord, but I had never really clearly heard the Lord's voice. And I saw this picture in my head, which for me personally is how I hear the Lord. When I ask the Lord something or whatever, the Holy Spirit will give me a picture, and that is how he speaks to me. And I'm sure many of you are the same, and there's several different ways that you can really hear from the Lord, but seeing a picture in your mind or having a knowing of something is really the strong ways that I hear the Lord. So you'll hear me refer to that from time to time on the podcast, because it is my lifeline, the Word of God, his voice inside of me. I live it. I need it. It certainly is more than bread to me. But as I was sitting, you know, on my picnic blanket at this concert, I was just admitting to the Lord, I do not identify with the cross, and I don't get it, and like, help me with this, because it feels sinful to not exalt the cross the way that everybody else does, and in my heart be like, okay, what's the big deal about this? And immediately I just got this picture in my head of like the Lord, almost as if I was envisioning him on the cross, and it was like the Lord stood in front of me and moved my cheek and just redirected my head a separate area where there was the empty tomb. And it was like I was looking far off. And he goes, this is what I want you to pay attention to. I want you to pay attention to an empty tomb. And of course, my logic corrected myself right away, corrected the voice of God, as we are all so famous for doing. But if you're wondering if you hear God's voice, let me just give you a little tip really quick. This changed my life. But somebody told me the Holy Spirit will speak first, and then your mind will engage and will start arguing with it. So if there is a knowing or a picture or a strong feeling or a dream or whatever way you receive a word from the Lord, receive hearing his voice in the present, as soon as you start arguing with it, no, it can't be that because of all of these facts and figures, whatever you have, the circumstances that you have, then you know that you've heard the voice of God, because then your soul is actively engaged against it. Your mind doesn't have a reckoning for it, because of course his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so while I kept that in my mind, it definitely wasn't something that I acted out right away, or acted on right away rather, but I just kept it in my mind, like the empty tomb, the empty tomb, the empty tomb. Well, that is written about and talked about far less, like I mentioned, except on Easter, than any other subject, specifically the cross. So there wasn't much for me to go on yet at that age that I really knew how to dig in. I continued. I went to a Christian university. I took fabulous Bible classes from amazing professors, and they taught me how to study the word exegetically. I had been shown inductive study as a teen, and it totally changed my life. Just learning how to use a concordance just like blew my mind. And as soon as I got into like inductive study, like understood hermeneutics, which is really just the study of the word, like how do you look at an ancient text and think that it applies to you? Like how do you rightly look at a text and bring understanding and pull something from it into our current tense? And how do you read the stories, understand the author and the timing, and keep it within the context? That's what hermeneutics means. And that and a concordance, and boy, honey, was I set from there on out. I really went after the empty tomb. It was just a work that the Lord did in me. And after I had delved into the resurrection and delved into the fact that Jesus is really alive, did I see this old journal entry that said, this is what the Lord showed me at this concert tonight, and I have no idea what it means, but I feel bad because it's not, I'm trying to think how I want to phrase this, but basically it's not like deep enough, right? Like the cross has this grief and this emotion and, you know, this sort of like hopelessness attached to it that I think really ties into sacrificial holiness. And we apply that holiness that Jesus did for us on the cross. And in no way am I trying to belittle the cross, but I think that what the Lord has for us as believers is the empty tomb and the resurrection. And so I want to keep this episode short, and I just wanted to share my first testimony of it. And we'll pick up tomorrow for how I studied through the resurrection and how the Lord just used the original language of Scripture and just the Holy Spirit stirring some things in me so that I understood that it was really the fact that the tomb was empty that was a bigger deal to me now in my place while I was still breathing on earth than the fact that because of the forgiveness of sins, because of the mighty work that Jesus did on the cross, that judgment had been removed for me and I was going to have eternal life. But right now what mattered for me was that the tomb was empty and that Jesus didn't just raise from the dead. He was resurrected in a new body. And that really meant something for me right now. I'll see you tomorrow.